Greetings, salutations, and welcome to the West Texas Catholic, the podcast, episode 34, brought to you by Cap'n, powered by the Diocese of Amarillo. My name is Chris Albrecht. I'm Director of Communications for the Diocese of Amarillo, and our guest on our 34th edition of this program is Deacon Brian Lewis. He is the Director of the Permanent Diaconate for the Diocese of Amarillo. There's some important dates coming up in regards to the formation class of 2031. Deacon Brian's going to explain all that and what a deacon is and so much more here in just a couple of minutes. Plus, we'll get you up to date with a few diocesan headlines. But first, if you would assume an attitude of prayer, let us pray for religious liberty, something we should never take for granted in our church, our world, and in our society. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Almighty God, Father of all nations, for freedom you have set us free in Christ Jesus. We praise and bless you for the gift of religious liberty, the foundation of human rights, justice, and the common good. Grant to our leaders the wisdom to protect and promote our liberties. By your grace, may we have the courage to defend them for ourselves and for all those who live in this blessed land. We ask this through the intercession of Mary Immaculate, our patroness, and in the name of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, in the unity of the Holy Spirit with whom you live and reign, one God, forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. My dime's worth of opinions, which are not necessarily those of the Diocese of Amarillo, the Office of Communications, or Cap'n itself. I think, though, we can agree on the first one. Please pray for some rain, folks. We are bone dry in this part of the world. We're out of the La Nina into a neutral weather pattern finally, which means better chances of rain. Rain will take. Hail and all the extracurriculars prefer not to, but we'll take whatever God gives us because in God all good things, right? So please continue to pray for rain for our very parched portion of his vineyard. Keep in prayer those in need of prayer, the poor, the homeless, the unemployed, the sick, the dying, the lonely, the oppressed, the hungry, the thirsty, the discerning, the disturbed, and the confused. Continue to pray for our two great seminarians, Richard Escalante and Benjamin Sego. Find out more about vocations at amarillovocations.org. Amarillovocations.org, your one-stop shop online for everything and anything that has to do with vocations in the Diocese of Amarillo. To our healthcare workers and first responders, thank you for all you do for us. Your efforts do not go unappreciated on this particular program. Finally, we've got runoffs coming up next month. Make sure you're getting educated and ready to go out and vote. We'll talk more about that in the next episode or two, but make sure you're ready to vote in the runoffs coming up in May. Couple of other quick reminders, diocesan website, amarillodiocese.org. We have westtexascatholic.org as well. There's plenty of news on both of those websites. Make sure you like us on Facebook. We go by Amarillo Diocese on Facebook. We put quite a few posts up there during the course of time. We're going to talk about the May issue of the West Texas Catholic for a minute. It's dated May 17th. The deadlines, Monday, May 4th for advertising, Thursday, May 7th for stories, photos, etc. And it is the graduation issue. We are fervently putting that together. Furbishly, feverishly, whatever you'd like to say, we're trying to get that put together. By the way, the podcast, stcapn.com. Don't forget to keep up with this podcast and our other offerings on this outstanding podcast network because they're now available on Spotify, Amazon Music, and Apple Podcast. Our email address, because David Wilson wants to hear your feedback on this program and all the other great offerings we have, stcapn@dioama.org. Our next podcast will drop on Friday, April the 24th. And we're brought to you by Cap'n and powered by the Diocese of Amarillo, and we thank you for the privilege of your time. Our guest on the West Texas Catholic, the podcast, episode 34, brought to you by Cap'n and powered by the Diocese of Amarillo, is the director of the permanent diaconate for the Diocese of Amarillo, who's still kind of on that high of about 4 months ago, watching his first class be ordained and now move into ministry. Kind of a watching a parent leave, watch your children leave home kind of moment, isn't it?
Kind of is, yes. I agree. It's a beautiful thing, actually.
Deacon Brian Lewis is our guest, but just as he gets one class into active ministry, wait, we have to start another one. And you're doing it a little bit differently. We're going to talk about that in just a moment. But if I ask the question, what is a deacon? How does Deacon Brian Lewis answer that question?
Oh, my goodness. A deacon is one who serves the church, serves the people of God, and is particularly close to the bishop of a diocese.
And in this case, your second one this year.
Absolutely, yes, that's right.
Let's talk about your vocation story. I don't think I've ever heard you tell your vocation story. So how did you wind up being Deacon Brian Lewis and running the permanent diaconate for the Diocese of Amarillo?
Well, I've got to tell you, give a lot of credit to the Holy Spirit in this, because this really was not on my radar for the majority of my life. But I was approached at one point. I'd been working in the parish and doing some things and serving in the parish, I guess, as lector of St. Anne's Parish in Canyon, and also serving in different capacities with some catechesis, some RCIA, some confirmation classes, and working with that. And it was very fulfilling, and I loved doing that. And one day, the parish secretary came to me and she said, "Have you ever considered being a deacon?" Yeah, I knew Deacon Dave Roush, who had just been ordained, and I thought, well, no, but okay, I'll consider it. And a lot of times that's what happens with people, is they are given, that door is opened by someone close to them, someone who knows them, someone who has been observing how they're serving. And so that sort of opened the door. My wife and I decided to take a pilgrimage to sort of help discern this idea. And so we did. And along the way, the Lord kind of opened some doors and let me know that, yes, this is something that I should at least inquire about and pursue to the point that wherever God took me in this. So I had spoken with our pastor at the time and talked to him, and he was going to also pray about it. And I will tell you, when we got back from our pilgrimage up into Canada is where we went, there was a message on the phone that from our secretary said, "Brian, Father has signed all the documents that need to be signed, and you're ready to go." Like, how did he know? And so I hadn't really come back and said, yes, the Lord had made it clear. So obviously the Holy Spirit is working in this. And then the rest is history. The rest is just a time of discernment, a time of wondering, you know, where this is leading and how this is leading, and just having some good direction from Deacon Blaine Westlake, who had been the previous director of the diaconate, and about, you know, how this was a discernment. This was the discernment along the way. And if the Lord continues to open doors, then keep going. And if there are doors that close, that's okay, because there are so many other ways to serve the church. Being a deacon is a beautiful way to serve, but there are other ways to serve as well. So it was a beautiful experience, a great time for both me and my wife, as she was also part of that experience, attending all formation classes along with me.
We always seem to find ourselves asking people who are ordained, whether it's be to the diaconate, the priesthood, to go back to their ordination day. And I want to specifically go back to the Litany of the Saints. So you're laying prostrate on the floor at St. Mary's Cathedral, and what's going through your mind?
Oh, wow. All kinds of things. See what it brings up. It makes me a little emotional. Think about it. But it was just the time when I just felt such an embrace by the entire church, and a time when we were there, we were about to be ordained, and just all of a sudden you get this image of all those who had gone before, and those we had even visited their shrines in our pilgrimage up to Canada. I just, you know, was thinking about those saints and how the saints are there like the fans in a full stadium who are cheering us on. You probably have heard this analogy before, but, you know, we're running the race, and they run it before us, and they completed the race. They finished the race, and they're there to encourage us as we move toward our goal, which is unity with God, unity with Christ in heaven. And as we fight this fight on earth as along the way, and we serve the church and serve the Lord in our lives, we're not alone. But that's what was going through my mind. It was, I guess I'd already kind of come to grips with the idea that, yes, this is really happening. And I was really thrilled about it. but just that embrace of not only the church militant, but the church triumphant.
Deacon Brian Lewis is our guest on the West Texas Catholic, the podcast, episode 34, brought to you by CAP and powered by the Diocese of Amarillo. So we've ordained 8 new deacons in the last 4 months or so, but we have to have some additional deacons because, I mean, I hate to say it, our diaconate's graying quite a bit.
It is, yes.
And we need some people to step into the breach and take over for them. So the deacon formation class of 2031 is now in its initial stages. Let's talk about it.
Yeah, we are in the recruiting phase, I guess you might say, of this. The priests have been sent a big packet of information with various brochures and registration papers for men who have come to them, who have approached them with this idea of, I'd like to check this out further. And so they have all the information with them. And as far as, you know, it going forward, we're going to have a discernment class that will be one in June. And that will be kind of an initial come and see what you're getting yourself into, basically, which is a beautiful thing. But it is quite a commitment. So we emphasize that. It's quite a commitment. So it's not something to be taken lightly. As you know, anything that results in an ordination or a sacramental event is not to be entered into lightly. That's why we have OCIA and a long process for that. You know, long processes for all the sacraments before they are actually given. So the process to be a deacon, the discernment time, and all of those stages in between, the initial inquiry and the ordination, will be about 5.5 years. And that's what the national directory for the formation of deacons and the USCCB requires and has basically come to the conclusion that this is what is needed. This is at least this amount of time is needed in this process.
So we start with the inquiry on Saturday, June 6th, but do we have a deadline before that to get paperwork in,
Yes, May 15th.
That's a Friday.
May 15th is a Friday. And I need your paperwork here at the Pastoral Center. So however that needs to get here. But before that paperwork gets here, you know, there's a page that must be filled out with all the information about the man who is inquiring. Then we also need, because it's very important, the signature of his wife on the back. There's a place for the wife to sign that, yes, she is in full agreement with this idea. And also a place for the pastor to sign, because it indicates he is in full agreement with this idea, at least going forward. You know, this is not an indicator, this is not a guarantee that you're going to go all the way to ordination, but it is at least starting the process.
Fill in the blank. Your ideal deacon candidate would have what qualities?
Oh, wow. I think, to be honest with you, one of the biggest qualities, or two of the biggest qualities, humility and a servant's heart. You know, that's something that can be developed through formation. I mean, there are 4 main domains of formation that a man goes through in order to become a deacon. And there's the human domain of formation. Basically, it kind of develops that who he is as a person and what that means. And that human dimension is the foundation of all the other three. There's human domain, the spiritual domain, the intellectual domain, and the pastoral domain. And so one of the things that is humanly as a person is someone who's humble and someone who has a heart of service and has shown that and is really coming prepared with some background. You know, God can work with anybody, but, you know, it's if someone comes and they say, you know, I've been thinking about becoming a deacon, and they've really never experienced any kind of service in the church, we would kind of really have to look at that and see, well, why do you want to? There's, of course, interviews and things that go along with this process. The beautiful thing about this whole process is it is, yes, the man will initiate because the man feels some kind of a call to serve the church. Mm-hmm. And that's a beautiful thing. But there's the church also will help discern. And I didn't appreciate that until I kind of got into it and realized, oh, my goodness, How many times have I made a decision to do something and it was really not the best decision? But we're not in it alone. We have also the church to help us discern whether this is where God is leading us or not. And so there's a comfort in that. And it's not a gotcha kind of thing. It's actually an act of community, an act of love that we have this body of Christ and especially the church to help us through big decisions we have in our lives.
You use the term major commitment, and it is a major commitment to be a deacon.
Absolutely.
Talk about that for just a minute.
Well, to be a deacon, it's a major commitment to actually serve as a deacon because you're there for liturgy, you're there for serving others in charity, and you're there for just all the different aspects of being a deacon. However, to get there, and I guess, you know, it's kind of like when you go to school, you think you're really under a lot of stress getting your schooling done, but then when you graduate, that's when the real life begins, and you realize, oh my goodness, now I see why I took that course, now I see why I had to do that, because now it's actually happening.
Mm-hmm.
And so formation, we call a major commitment and deacon formation because it truly is. I mean, it helps prepare those who are going to be eventually ordained. In formation, there's more than 1,200 hours of directed and coordinated formation. There are 60 weekends in the classroom. We have also each month a study group, which will study not only the catechism, but other things that we will be asking them to study and work through as a group, because sometimes in that dynamic, things are fleshed out and things are processed in a way that aren't necessarily done on your own reading or studying. There's 4.5 years of a parish internship, which is basically 6 hours a month serving in whatever capacity the pastor asks you to serve, maybe as a lector, maybe as an extraordinary minister of Holy Communion, maybe as a catechist. There are lots of different ways you can serve in your parish. But that's like an internship, because as a deacon means servant. Diacono is servant. So there's that, and there's also, along the way, there's another part of the major commitment is 240 hours of a charitable ministry. And this is like service to the poor, service in some ways to those in need, something like the food bank, or working with that in whatever capacity, visiting folks on an official basis in like nursing homes and visiting hospital, people in the hospital, those who are sick. A variety of things you can get into, a hospice ministry. So we'll talk about all those options as that comes closer, but that's a big one. That's a big one. That's 10 hours a month on top of what we're already doing in formation. I don't want to scare anybody off.
And you're not. You're not.
But I also want to make sure that it is a major commitment. So it's when the Lord calls you to something, He gives you what you need when you need it. And that includes time. He provides the time you need when you need it, when He's calling you for something. And then there's other commitments as well. But this is, yeah, it is a major commitment. I'm echoing things that Deacon Blaine had said for 25 years. I remember the very first meeting with him, it's a major commitment. And it was, and it is. So it's good to know that up front.
Yes, it is. Deacon Brian Lewis, our guest on the West Texas Catholic, the podcast episode 34. We're brought to you by Cap'n, powered by the Diocese of Amarillo. We kind of talked about it, but we haven't fleshed it out. The wives are certainly involved in this. They have to sign off on all this to begin with. So let's talk about their portion in this formation and eventual, hopefully by the grace of God, ordination to the permanent diaconate.
Well, I may start with, once a man is ordained, his wife is also sort of, their role sort of changes in a sense, because they are seen as someone that is possibly someone that could be approached about a topic or about an issue or something that they would like, someone would like advice about. And to prepare a deacon's wife for that, we ask that the wives during formation also attend the formation classes. There will be also sessions and courses and things just for the wives, but they will also be attending many of the courses and the events and things that the men are involved with. as well during formation. So they need to be there as well. It is something that we ask, and really and truly, because not only do they need to give an informed consent, and my goodness, being with them in formation helps inform their consent and lets them know that, yes, because along the way, at various times, their wives have to say, okay, yes, I still agree with this. It's not just a one-time agreement. It's along the way. And so for them to have informed consent, and it's a great way for wives to learn and to grow in their faith and their knowledge of the things of the faith and the things of the church and the knowledge of scripture, the knowledge of philosophy, various things. They're invited and they're asked to come to the formation classes with their husbands. So that's what the wives are part of. And they're an integral part. It's a community. And I think it's, you know, for many of the men who are married, obviously your wife and your family are extremely important in your world. And so for the wives to come together in community, as well as the husbands being together in community, it forms this diaconal community. When we come together for our deacon and wives retreat every October, it's so wonderful to see everybody because we've established this bond, this community within our diaconal community. So to answer your question, yes, the wives are very important in this situation.
Friday, May 15th, that's the day that all paperwork has to be submitted to the permanent diaconate office for the Diocese of Amarillo for this diaconate class of 2031. The first meeting, to see if you're still interested in this, will be Saturday, June 6th. That'll be at the Bishop DeFalco Retreat Center. Yeah.
Yes, it will be. And I'll be honest, you must have registered. You won't be able to come and say, oh, I didn't get my paperwork done, but can I come anyway? I will say no. So, because you need to do the thing that has been asked to do, and that is to approach your pastor. It's all that's basically what you need is you need your pastor's approval for you to move forward with this. And once we have that, we would love to meet you and tell you all about it.
Oh, let's hope that a lot of men will take you up on that. Deacon Brian Lewis is our guest on the West Texas Catholic, the podcast, episode 34, brought to you by Cap'n and powered by the Diocese of Amarillo. And you, sir, get the final word in this conversation. Okay.
Well, the only thing I'd like to remind about is if you have any questions or concerns, or if you want to know what the requirements are, because there are some requirements for entering into this in the first place. And what those requirements are, I'm not going to go through them right here, but they are available. You can see them in not only the brochure that was sent to the pastor, but also you can find them on the diocese website at amarillodiocese.org/diaconate.
Get signed up, folks. Don't wait till the last minute. And don't show up on Saturday, June 6th with the great excuse of, A, my dog ate the homework, or B, I completely forgot, because those won't work. Deacon Brian, I hope you get a lot of good men.
Yeah.
And I know you're being a fisher of men with this, and I
Definitely.
Hope that the nets break and you get lots of men interested in the diaconate. God bless you and your ministry, sir.
Thank you very much. Thanks. It's been a pleasure to be here talking about this, and I thank everyone for their prayers, especially for our new diaconate class. Thank you very much.
Let's get you up to date with a few more pieces of diocesan news before we exit stage right, and a reminder about the second season of Spiritual Arms, 5 Minutes for the Battle. We drop a new episode every Monday morning at 7 o'clock, and we want you to kick off your work week with 5 Minutes of Faith, hosted by the great Joshua Correa of St. Mary's Cathedral here in Amarillo. You can find it at stcapn.com. And also, while you're there, check out The Introverted Apostle with Roman Asbill and David Wilson. And a reminder, all of our fantastic Cap'n products available on Spotify, Amazon Music, and Apple Podcast. DCYC 2026 is approaching. It's the annual youth gathering Friday, April 24th through Sunday, April 26th at the Amarillo Civic Center. Check out the details, amarillodiocese.org or westtexascatholic.org, and get your kids to DCYC 2026. Confirmation Masses this spring are being done by Deanery. All the Masses at St. Mary's Cathedral at 1200 South Washington in Amarillo. These celebrations continuing until the end of May. Volunteers still needed at BSA Hospital as communion ministers. It doesn't require a lot of time. Training will be provided. Elma Fletcher has all the details. 806-206-4496. And a reminder again, to please save Saturday, August 22nd on your calendars. We're getting excited about this. The Diocese of Amarillo is celebrating its centennial with a massive Thanksgiving that morning, 10 o'clock, St. Mary's Cathedral, 1200 South Washington. More coming very, very soon. Save the date. Join us at St. Mary's Cathedral that day. Hey, do you have comments, suggestions? Maybe you've got an idea for a guest, or maybe you'd like to help underwrite the cost of Cap'n. Well, if you're interested in advertising, please email David Wilson. He checks his email address exclusively, stcapn@diama.org. And don't forget to fill out the form at stcapn.com. We want to hear from you because why? We want to make this podcast and our podcast network even better. And don't forget to keep up with this program and our other offerings on our podcasting network on Spotify, Amazon Music, and Apple Podcast. Thank you for the privilege of your time. Have yourselves a fantastic week. Remember, abortion is not and never will be healthcare. Viva Cristo Rey. And a reminder, keep up with this program and all of our other offerings on our podcasting network, on our great podcasting network on...